Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, September 19th, 2021. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, A Second Touch. Our text comes to us from Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, this morning, we have another one of those incredible encounters. Last week, we talked about Nathanael and how Nathanael came to Christ in a remarkable way when the Lord says, I saw you under the fig tree. And a lot of people have talked to me about the fig tree lately, and I tell them that I love to eat figs. But it's symbolic of our devotion to God. It's symbolic as to where we are and how God knows all about us. And we're thankful for what the Lord's done in your heart to know that the Lord is there and he knows and understands all about you. But today we go to Mark chapter 8, and we go to verse 22 through 26. This is another encounter of the Lord, and I think you'll find it quite important in your life and in my life. And it reads this way. Would you like to all read it together?
Yes.
All right. Who will lead it out? All right. Go ahead. Everybody, he took the blind man. He looked up. May God bless the reading of his word. When I read that portion of scripture, it's good to see you, Amanda. When I read that portion of scripture, all of a sudden in my mind came that crazy song. And I asked Wilma on the way over, do you know the words, the lyrics? He knew a couple of them, but I said, stop. I don't want to take this too much more. But I see clearly now. I'm not going to try to sing. I see clearly. The storm is gone. Is that right? Or the rain is gone. Well, whatever. I can see clearly now. Can you see clearly today? Can you clearly see what God wants to do in your life and in my life? I like to address the whole concept that we as Christians often need a second touch from the Master. There are moments in our life that are not clear. They're not clear for many reasons. But the Lord has invested himself in you and in me for that second touch. How many want a second touch from the Lord? There you go. We look at this passage and we see how considerate Jesus was. Blindness in those days was a catastrophic disease. It was caused by many reasons. One of them was the shining sun in the desert, and the hygiene in those days was not the best. And so people who were blind were destined to be beggars at best. It was a horrible situation. And so Jesus meets this man, and he begins to minister to him. And one of the most remarkable moments in this conversation, it's very simple. He says that he took him out of the village to talk to him. I wonder why the Lord wanted to talk to him alone. I wonder why he did not perform a miracle of healing in front of all that company that he had around there. Which, by the way, the city where Jesus was not a very good city. It produced great leaders, but it was really a very worldly city. Very, very nasty city towards what the Lord wanted to do. And this was his last trip to that part of Galilee. But he took him out. And you wonder why he would take him out. I have many reasons to think why the Lord wanted to do that. I've written some stuff there and ideas and stuff. And I think one of the reasons is that he was very considerate of the man who was blind. Imagine if all of a sudden sight would have come to him, he would have been startled by all the glaring noises and the glaring lights and the people around him. So I think he took him apart. And he took him apart so that he could minister directly to him. And I believe all great doctors and great teachers do the same. They have this one outstanding characteristic. They care about the person whom they're treating and they're dealing with. And the Lord has this characteristic about you. He would never put you on a spot. He would never embarrass you. He would never put you in a situation where you would feel awkward. He would always deal with you in your level of understanding and commitment to your heart and to your life. Yes, I really believe that great doctors have this, and so do great teachers. They consider seriously the patient or the student, and they take into account their fears and their understanding, their hopes, and they sympathize. They suffer with them. They are part of what's going on in their lives. See, Jesus is coming to you and to me this morning, gentle ways, in kind ways, filled with love and understanding. Jesus came and addressed himself to this one man, wanting to enter into his heart and into his mind, wanted to be considerate of him. Because, see, Jesus could feel their feelings and could think their thoughts. Jesus knows all about you and me. He respects our feelings. He respects our thoughts. He understands our context. He understands what we've been going through. There is nothing hidden to God. And he takes all of that into account. Jesus bids us, calls us, promotes us to come unto him away from the village, away from the noise and away from the turmoil, away from the place where we have found ourselves sat so inadequately to perform. He also calls us away from all religion, you know, religion that just doesn't work. He calls us outside a worldly ambition that leads us into disaster. He calls us outside of our sin's dominion, because sin can not only produce pain, but it could produce ultimate death. He wants us to go out of town with him. What the Lord wants us is to be led out of town with him. To say to yourself and to your heart, Lord, take me to a place where you can minister in my life. This man did not necessarily have any kind of a sin that he had to repent of, but he was just simply blind. So what Jesus did, according to scripture, is he used a method that the man could understand. He used spit to heal this person. So we think ourselves, which is an awful thing to do. He spit into the ground, got the mud and put it in the eyes. Said, ¿qué le pasó a Jesús? Well, that was common practice, and that was part of the ways in which people were cured in those days. They felt that saliva and mud together was medication. But don't gross out, because isn't it true that if you burn your finger, what do? You burn your finger. You put it right in your mouth, or you cut it. It's awful. At least as long as it's my finger and my mouth, I don't care. But the fact of the matter is, that's exactly what was going on. Jesus used a method of curing him that was understandable to him. It was something completely understandable to him. He could understand what Jesus is doing. When Jesus comes to you and ministers to your heart and to your life, he does it in a place, in a way that you can understand. Not fully, but you're not freaked out by God's touch in your life. Because God is working in your life, and he does things in you that you're just astonished that he would answer your prayers, that he would guide your life, that he will show you right and wrong. We have a Christ who is very wise in dealing with you and with me. He did not come with words and methods that were far above his head. He didn't say, oh, I know all about your cornea, so let me see what I can do with it. What was a cornea in those days? You know, and even I don't even know if it was the cornea. No, he did something that they could understand and that they could grasp. That's how he always dealt. See, he did work with this man at the level that he could understand. I want to encourage you to trust Jesus, because Jesus will work at your level. He will come to you and will minister to the needs that you have as you know them today. Now, this miracle is unique because it's the only miracle that happened gradually. It wasn't all at once. You know, it was in the trademark for Jesus were miracles that were sudden and complete. I got a list here. For instance, no touch was needed for the daughter of the Canaanite woman to be healed, or the servant of the Roman soldier, or the man with the withered hand, or the 10 lepers, or the nobleman from Capernaum whose son was sick. It just happened. There was no touch. It just happened. There were other miracles that required only one touch. You know, and sometimes he healed by the distance. And so the methods of Jesus' healing was according to the need that existed at that time. Simply understand that Jesus knows all about us and he deals with each one of us differently. He doesn't deal the same with everybody. In some cases, there was no need for a second touch. In others, there is. When he was in the boat, he didn't wrestle with the wind and he did not wrestle with the sea. He said, peace be still, and it was done. The woman with the issue of blood, he didn't even do anything. He just said, grace came out of me. Healing came out of me. Something happened, and that woman was healed. But in this miracle, the blind man's sight came back in stages. There's a symbolic truth here. And it's this, for you and for me, we don't always get all of God's truths in our lives at once. The Lord reveals himself in stages. He gives us knowledge building upon knowledge. Because you see, you and I, believe it or not, we are a work in progress. God is still not done with you. And he wants to show you other things that you need to see. Things that you don't see now. God has a plan for you because he's ready to give you a second touch. You may have the first touch because you're saved, because you know the Lord, because you've given your heart to him. But then there are issues in your life that need clarity. You need clarity. There are certain types of ministries today that say that if you come to Christ, all the issues of life have been solved. Well, technically, yes, because Christ is there. But I want you to know that making a personal decision to know the Lord and to serve the Lord doesn't make you a full-grown Christian. As a matter of fact, we tell people when they come to the Lord, they're baby Christians, implying that there is a growth and a process in which development is needed. And you and I need to understand that church membership itself does not give you full growth capacity. No, it does not. So in making a commitment to Christ and getting to know Christ, it will take all of eternity to get to know him, because it will take millions of years to discover the greatness and the amplitude and the fantastic personality that he is. Christ, the Son of God. I'm telling you, we will be learning about the Lord forever and ever and ever. So what we need to ask the Lord in our hearts is, Lord, do I need a touch, a second touch in my life? Because sometimes, you know, we look at things just the wrong way. We look at things and see men as trees. Think of that, men as trees. Sometimes we see things through the wrong bifocal, the wrong pair of glasses. We don't really see things as they need to be seen. We need to learn the scriptures. We need to walk in his ways. We need to move on because there's much more that God wants to show you. Because there are some blind spots going around. You need to see the Lord clean those things up for you so that you can see clearly now. People ought to look like people, you know. And things ought to look like things. And trees ought to look like trees. There is something about trees that you can see and understand. And their people are not trees. And yet it's amazing how sometimes we confuse the two. What are you really seeing in your life? And what is it that you don't see clearly in your heart? When people see people as they are, you will see that all people are made in the image of God. You see that everyone is precious in his sight. You see that everyone is blessed by his goodness. You will see that everyone is saved by grace. When we see people, we ought to see them for who they really are. And so I'm asking you right now at this moment, can you see right? Or are you a recipient of kind of a blurry life? Are you seeing things clearly? Can you walk through where you're going through? Are you stumbling? What is it that you don't see right that needs a touch of Jesus in your life? It could be so many things going on in your life. We'll start by asking about your marriage. How is your marriage doing? Do you see clearly now? What about your children? What about them? What about your business? What about your parents? What about your life as a whole? Do you see things clearly or are they blurred and in need of the Lord to give you that second touch? A touch that will help you to see truly how things are. Well, you don't need to fall. You don't need to fumble. You don't need to trip. You don't need to stumble your way through life. You can, if you want to, look ahead and see what God has for you. The Lord is willing to take you out of the town, wherever you may be, to take you out of the context where you're in so he can minister to you and lay hands on you and give you sight. And then he will ask you a question. Now, do you get it? Now, do you see? And then you will respond and say, Lord, truthfully, Lord, I don't see this thing very clear. Some people don't ever want to come to the Lord and tell him something that he does not want to hear. But we have to come to the Lord and level with him and say, Lord, I don't see things clearly in my life. Lord, it's muddy out there. It's difficult for me to understand. It's difficult for me to see. And so the Lord will ask you, what do you see? How is your sight? And you'll say, it's like a bunch of trees. Men look like trees and men don't look like trees. But that's how I see it. I see this problem. I see this situation. I cannot resolve it. I can't make sense out of it. And Lord, I gave my heart to you. I've asked you to guide me. I've asked you to bless me. And look, I'm at this moment in my life and I don't see clearly yet or now. The Lord has an answer for you because he is willing to give you that second touch when you level with him. Yes, Lord, I don't see things right. Yes, Lord, I don't see things right. I'm confused. I'm pushed, Lord. I don't see things right. You know, it takes a lot of courage to face yourself. Did you know that? We were studying at the University Don Quixote de la Mancha. We're doing a study on Hispanic culture, and Don Quixote de la Mancha is a great character written by Cervantes before Shakespeare. Huh, just to read that book just shows you all kinds of insights as to who we are as Hispanic people and who this man, Cervantes, I mean, he wrote took him years to write that. It's 1,600 pages. And I have to confess, as I did to the students, I've not read all the 1,600 pages, but I read a lot of them, and you get tired. But there's a movie. So in the movie, it's called The Man of La Mancha. And in this man just has a dream. He was a dreamer. And he made up a whole life, you know. And some people think he was crazy, and others think he was just addressing his own reality and lived his own life. And sometimes, you know, we could learn from Don Quixote by having a dream, by wanting to see men as they really are, by admitting to ourselves the need for a reality that is ours only in Christ Jesus, to see our problems resolved, to see healing in our lives. But we have to come clean with the Lord, and we have to say, Lord, this is the reality of my life. I don't see clear stuff yet. I look at my situation, and it's not clear. Well, there's an old hymn of the church. Amazing grace, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I already come. Was grace that brought me this far, and grace will take me home. Where we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace. The grace of God that comes to you and to me as a second touch. That second touch is so important to your life. It's so important for you to dream the impossible dream of seeing men as they really are, of seeing yourself as really as the way it really is. For you not to fake it, or for you not to acknowledge it, you got to come to that place in your life where you say, this is my life. Oh, Lord, I don't see how I'm going to move on from here. The man could not have lived just looking around and only seeing trees. They said, I read somewhere where the first touch gives sight, but the second touch gives clarity. The first touch gives life, but the second touch gives meaning to that life. The first touch gives hearing. The second touch gives understanding. So we need that second touch from God in our lives. We need to do that. Look at this. First, we love God. The second touch, we love neighbors. First touch, we get into church. The second touch, church gets into us. Lord, help me, we say. The second touch, Lord, use me. The first touch is, pray, my will be done. And of course, the second touch is, let thy will be done. First is the touch of the Spirit. The second touch, you're filled with the Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Because you may be touched by the Spirit, but you need to be filled with the Spirit. You got some miles ahead of you, brothers and sisters. You got to do a little bit more walking, a little more searching, because God's not through with you. God's not through with you. You know, we pray for our friends. That's the first touch. What's the second touch? You pray for your enemies. You know, that is a mark of God's second touch upon your life. Sometimes we get religion, we say, but then religion gets all over you. You give criticism. You do what is called constructive criticism, when you just totally rip this person to pieces, but it was constructive, you know? And that was your first touch, so to speak. But you know, when God touches you, you take criticism. Such silence in the sanctuary today. You know, we all thank God for blessings. How many thank God for blessings? How about thanking God for trials. Eso está más difícil. Yeah, in all things give thanks unto God. That's the second touch. First touch, you think you're cool, you know. But the second touch, you feel like fire is burning in you. Something's changed you. Give me a blessing, O God. Second touch, make me a blessing. Read the word is the first touch. The second touch is live by the word. I like this last one, or at least next to the last one. I'll make it the last one. We learn to forgive. Hey, this is a big one. How many are learning to forgive? Let me see. Okay, second touch. Learn to forget. I was in a conversation with someone who has done some sizable damage, personal and collectively. And so he was talking with me, and I said, you need to thank God that I forget. My wife remembers, but I forget. It's a good character, but that's the way it should always be. Thank the Lord for my wife. She warns me. Don't let them do it again. But you know, I tend to forget, and I thank God for the quality of forgetting when people injure you, when people do things wrong to you. It's not easy, but God can give that to you with the second touch. So how many need a second touch in our lives, in our hearts? So Jesus pulls us out of the way, the busyness of our town, the busyness of our life, in the conflict of the issues we face every day. He does it gracefully. He does it privately. He does it with character. He does it with love. He does it with respect. He is there and he is here now to give you that second touch so that your vision can be clear, that you can see as you should see. Because I gotta tell you, when you see men as trees, you're not focused correctly. When you see things that are warped, you're not looking at reality, and you're guided by that reality, which is fake. I know God will touch you. I know God will touch you when you come with him and say, Lord, take me out of this town. Take me out of this place. Lord, I'm blind. Lord, I don't see. And so he puts his hands on you and you say, wonderful, Lord, I can see. But you know, really, Lord, not really quite there yet. Sometimes el orgullo, the pride, doesn't let us say that to the Lord because we think we're all super people. When we come to the Lord and he touches the first time, we say, it's all done. It's all taken care of. You got miles and miles and hundreds of miles to go yet. So the Lord comes and says, well, what do you see? How do you see? He's asking you that question this morning. How do you see your life? Do you need that second touch? Be honest with the Lord. Say, I can't resolve this. I can't handle this. I don't know what to do. So it's not that Jesus failed when he touched you the first time, and it was not that you were not receptive to that first touch. It's life. It's life. It's life. Sometimes we want to be super Christians. I never get sick. Yeah, sure. I never get sick. And if anybody gets sick, they're not good Christians. Sure. Sure, sure. I never tell a lie. Oh, sure. I never sin. Oh, sure. Well, actually, I have met people who have said that to me. This one particular denomination believes in what is called entire sanctification. And I remember him telling me, I've not sinned for the last 7 years. Bueno, digo yo, aquí estoy ante alguien más poderoso que San Pablo. I mean, but there are some people who are that. No, you need to be honest with yourself. You need to look in the mirror and say, oh, así es como me ve la gente. Sometimes we have an image of ourselves and we want to project an image of holiness and purity and strength and I know it all and, you know, and I'm so powerful. But in reality, when you don't see clearly and you're ashamed to say, my marriage is breaking up. I don't know why. You say, my children are not serving God. I don't know why. Or maybe you do, but, you know, I don't know. My finances are going down. Well, why? You got to let the Lord touch you again to give you clarity where you are now. And he will do it with dignity. Again, with love and dignity and precision and compassion. Jesus never rebukes you because you come to him. The Spirit of God is drawing you to him now for you to say, touch me, Lord. Purify my life, Lord. Sanctify my life, Lord. Glorify my life, Lord, when I go into your presence. An old song of the church. I was sinking deep in sin. You have no idea how I want to hum this, but you will all run out of here. So, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained, within sinking to rise no more. Has that been your experience as a Christian? Because it happens in the life of Christians when we feel so down, when we don't even know if we're ever going to get up. This hymn talks about those that don't know the Lord, but it also talks to us as Christians that we can get ourselves into trouble and not see things like they should be. And the chorus, the hymn goes on, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe I am. So you got to cry to God. You got to say, I need that second touch. I need God to make things clear for me. Because I'm so wise in my own opinion, I'm sinking. I'm so wise in my own opinion that I'm stumbling and falling. I cannot accept correction or direction. I cannot hear clearly God's voice in my life. Something's wrong. Well, let him touch you. Because the only thing that gives you sight to see things as they are is that second touch of the Master. When he touches you the second time. You know, I love for instant conversions. And I think that happens. Instantly, we come to Christ and boom, we're saved. We know the Lord. But it takes a lifetime to learn how to live for the Lord. And it takes time, takes lots of time. To understand that there will be needs in our life for that second touch. Oh yes, and a third touch, and a fourth touch, and a fifth touch, and a sixth. Because we're dependent upon the Lord to guide us. So I would like for us to think clearly how God can touch our lives this morning. What must he do? What area of our life must he touch? Well, our eyesight. So that what? So that you can see where you are. You can see your reality. The reality that is the Lord for you to understand. Look, God loves you. God wants you to love other people. Look, there's a way that seems right. But God is the one who has the path. There are things you presume you know, but God knows better. God's called you here. Because God has something to say to you. And what he's saying to you is, I'm ready for that, to give you that second touch. Imagine God's humor. I think God, by the way, it can be hilariously funny. wonderfully humorous. Imagine, just imagine, you're here this Sunday morning and in this sanctuary and in the net, and it's from here that the Lord is telling you, I'm going to give you a second touch. Think of it. Could have been somewhere else, but this is the place, and this is the moment. This is how God deals with you and with me, by giving us a second touch in our lives. I asked before, I'm going to ask you again, how many need a second touch in your life? Keep those hands lifted, will you? Please, keep your hands lifted. Andy, will you come and help us? Because we're going to sing, and this song that we will sing says simply, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. Let Jesus touch you. That second touch in your life, in that area that you're hurting, that you are not seeing clearly, let Him touch you, because He will. And then you will see things clearly. You no longer have to see men as trees. You can see men as men. You can see reality in your life. Hallelujah. Sing it softly, ever to the Lord.
He touched me. Oh, He touched me.
He touched me.
And all the joy that floods my soul.
And oh yes,
and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Will you stand?
Shackled by a heavy
burden, the burden you can't see right. And shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, thank you, Lord, I'm no longer the same. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord.
He touched me. Oh, He touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me. And made me whole. And since I met this blessed Savior, oh, since He cleansed and made me whole, well, I will never see.
Touch
and all the joy.
Can I hear an amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord touches us. The Lord touches us. He touches our heart, our mind, our spirit, our body. There's nothing He cannot do for you when you allow the Lord to touch you. This is the day
the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Isn't that wonderful? So Scripture says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the second touch. God bless you.
We are so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, you can visit our Facebook page or click on the link below. For more information about our church, you can also visit our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.